Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show, live from the Missouri Capitol, sponsored by Golden Oak Lending, where homeowners get cash in as little as 14 days.
Hey, we are live back here in Jeff City this morning, just outside the Senate chambers. They're going to get things underway in about 4 hours, right? At noon today, they will be in here swearing in new members of the Senate and the House here in Jefferson City, Missouri, and kind of getting underway with the legislative session. Not a lot of insight to give you right now on what those top priorities will be. We have a good idea that it's going to be the state income tax, probably for sure, something on immigration potentially. Certainly taxes keep coming up. We've talked to the governor this morning. You can hit rewind on the Odyssey app. We'll have all this up on demand for you. Incoming Governor Mike Kehoe, the Attorney General, the incoming Lieutenant Governor, the Secretary of State have all been guests this morning. We're still going to get some insight from a member of the House and the Senate this hour on where they see those priorities. Obviously, everything down here depends on leadership and where they want to go, as we've determined in the past. So Carl and I are down here. We've been here all morning, and Kim and Ethan are holding down the studio back there for us. We appreciate that. You know, Kim, when's the last time you were in the state capitol?
Oh, gosh, I'm trying to remember if it would have been maybe when I was in college, because I went to Mizzou.
Oh, yeah.
May have been it.
I really think, and I know people will probably roll their eyes at me when I say that, but if you have not been down to this building, it's worth a trip down here sometime. Bring your kids and walk through here. I mean, you know, I didn't grow up in Missouri. I've been here for 31 years now, so it's home. But if you walk through the halls here, they have busts of famous Missourians. Like I told you earlier, Rush Limbaugh's over there. You see who else did you see over there a minute ago, Carl?
I saw Walt Disney over there, Jack Buck.
Yeah.
Roy Blunt is the newest one over there.
The newest one that Dean Plocker commissioned last year. But I saw a couple that surprised me, Kim, and they're old names, but I know you'll probably recognize them. Betty Grable.
Actress?
Well, the actress from the 30s.
I was hoping you'd say Betty White.
Has got a bust down here. No. Maybe. Ginger Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
Bust is down here. So as you walk through here, you kind of get a greater appreciation for the history of the state of Missouri and the famous Missourians, because many of them are honored here with their bust. They've got a bust of Sacagawea over there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Because she started with Lewis and Clark.
That's right, yeah. Anyway, just I thought I'd mention that offhand, as I've gotten a little tour as I've walked around here this morning just to shake hands with a few people and say hello. So we will We will get to more on that for you coming up here in a few minutes. And we're going to get to Nick Schroer. I mentioned the senator at the bottom of the hour, Justin Sparks, state representative, who threw his hat in the ring for speaker this year. We'll get to him coming up here in a few minutes. He's on his way down to Jeff City today, in fact. But right now, before we get any further along, Ethan, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Many of the greatest business leaders on earth are seeing a very bright economic future for America since the election.
Yeah, Donald Trump, in a wide-ranging speech there yesterday, I listened to most of it, some of it on TV, some of it in the car as I was on my way home yesterday. He said we're about to enter a new golden age, and it's part of what he sees as a bright economic future as soon as he can just get back in office in about 12 days.
We're going to make the FBI great again. We're going to make the Department of Justice fair and strong, but fair again.
As soon as Kash Patel gets approved, I guess, we kind of have to wait and see what the Senate is going to do with that. But obviously President Trump there targeting the FBI and the Department of Justice in that speech yesterday.
There's a lot of talk about Greenland, for example. Now, and I know there's a lot of freakouts, you know, and of course I would never support taking it by force. But I do think it's I do think it's a responsible conversation if they were open to acquiring it.
We're going to make Greenland orange again, Carl Middleman. Did you know that? I thought that was my favorite meme. I posted up on Facebook earlier, if you've missed it, the meme of Donald Trump scratching out Greenland and writing Orange Land on it. It's driving the liberals nuts.
Income tax is just punishing somebody for having a job and going out and making money. And so that's why we would really like to see the income tax cut.
Well, for that matter, the federal income tax, too. How about that? Let's start with that one as well. That's Senator Tony Lutkemeyer. He's going to be like the Senate floor leader down here this year in the new Senate. And it'll be, we'll see how much of a priority that becomes, Kim. I don't know. I'm getting to be a little bit of a cynic when it comes to what they can get accomplished here in a legislative session. At least the last couple of years, there was a lot of talk, and at the end of it, not a lot of action, particularly on IP reform. I hate to keep bringing that up, but if they had gotten off their duffs and fixed that, Amendment 3, like the state of Florida, probably wouldn't have passed. Even if it got 53 or 54% of the vote, it wouldn't have hit the threshold of 57 to make sure that an uber majority of citizens support an issue before you actually go change the state constitution.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us have become cynics because you'd think with a supermajority that this would be no problem. And yet time and again, we see these bills that should be a slam dunk are getting held up. And I think it's because you have a lot of people who run as a Republican, who run on conservative values. And then as soon as they're elected and they get to Jefferson City and they get their fancy title, they just don't vote that way. And it's very frustrating. And speaking about IP reform, I know we had the governor-elect on, Mike Kehoe, earlier, and we talked about that. He said he supported that. And I'd asked him, you know, well, what do you think that bar should be? What should the threshold be here in the state of Missouri if it were up to you? He stopped short. I don't think he wants to be the one to kind of say, well, this is it, right? But I am curious. I would be curious to know what he thinks it should be.
Well,
as the incoming governor.
He thinks it should be raised, and when he got up here to leave after the interview, he said to me, tell Kim I'm not trying to dodge her. He said, but I've worked down here long enough to know that if as governor I give a figure, a percentage, then the people in this building are going to see that as the standard, and they won't want to budge from that number. He said, I want to see it increased, and I want to see what the proposals are before I commit to one. So I think he was very concerned about dabbling in the process, but he does support IP reform.
Yeah,
what he
and
said.
He did make
so
that
agree,
clear. He supports IP reform, which is good.
So, you know, what I did in preparation for today was go through the list of bills that have been proposed down here, just to give you just a general idea. And this doesn't mean any of them ever get to a committee hearing, just so you know. These are pre-filed bills. One of them it deals with guns on public transit. Our friend Adam Schnelting has submitted that one, because currently you ride on bi-states, you take your life in your own hands. If you're a legal concealed carry holder, you're not technically allowed to carry your concealed weapon in a place you might need it most. He's filed a bill that would allow that. Let's see. Mary Elizabeth Coleman has filed one that would ban DEI in schools. I think that's a great idea. Here's one on voter registration, documentary proof of citizenship, that's been filed by Ben Brown. We'll talk to Nick Schroer here at the bottom of the hour. He's filed a anti-red flag gun seizure act, which would state that you could never impose something like that on the people of Missouri. And, of course, the one that caught my attention as well, Mary Elizabeth Coleman filed one to eliminate the state income tax. After January 1st of next year, she would say that could no longer be collected. Now, if any of those go anywhere, we remains to be seen, but we're going to continue to ask some of those questions. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Justin Sparks, a state representative who is, of course, there in this greater St. Louis area, threw his hat in the ring for speaker and is considered a long shot for that. But I wanted to have him on and get his thoughts on what he's hoping to see out of this session in the House. And that's coming up right after the break. We are live down in Jefferson City trying to get the legislative session kicked off here in a few hours and find out what your elected representatives are going to be doing for you. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back. We are live here in the Capitol down in Jefferson City in the beautiful rotunda. And I say that because you probably hear an echo in here. I can hear it in the background as I speak. I was walking down the hall here earlier, ran into Dean Plocker, the current speaker, John Patterson, who is presumed to be the favorite in the race for the speaker. And didn't get a chance to talk to John Patterson. I did say hi to Dean Plocker. So these are the people that will obviously be leading the discussions in the House and sort of setting the agenda on all of this. And we wanted to invite in State Representative Justin Sparks from the 110th District, who is on his way to Jefferson City even as we speak. Justin, welcome in.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you for giving me a few minutes this morning. What is priority number one for you this year if you got to be the decider in the Missouri House on what the priorities would be?
Well, first, I would, such as George Washington and Abraham Lincoln did, I would call for a day of prayer and fasting and ask for the divine hand of providence to guide our state forward as we dismantle Amendment 3. So that thousands of babies might live instead of abortion and Missouri becoming the most pro-abortion state in the country.
Yeah, I love that. I love that answer because we've been asking that question this morning as to whether or not that is a priority. Now, obviously, you've thrown your hat in the ring for the speaker's race. How's that going?
Well, I mean, I will say it's probably one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. But it was necessary. This fight had to be had. And everywhere I heard as I traveled across the state, I heard the same thing, which is people believe they no longer have a voice in the House of Representatives because they believe their representatives don't listen to them anymore. And so I truly believe it was my conviction that we must give them a voice again, that people deserve to be heard.
You know, one of the things we had heard is that basically, what determines who's chosen as Speaker of the House is essentially based on which person goes out and helps these other, you know, candidates, these other lawmakers raise money for their campaign. And so that's why we've heard a lot of people say, well, Justin Sparks got in the race too late. Is that what really is at play here, is just basically who's willing to go out and help raise money for other candidates?
Well, look, it's good to go out and help people raise money and help them get elected. Of course, that's true. But that's really just a narrative. That's not the real reason. It's just a convenient narrative that's being sold to you, because what is the truth is it's not about who's the best fundraiser, who can raise this money on their own, right? It's who will go along with special interests, and then those special interests will funnel money to that campaign candidate, who will then give it to the House Republican Campaign Committee, and that is used as justification to select that person to be the floor leader, who then becomes the speaker. That is how our leadership is chosen instead of organically elected.
Wow. I mean, the truth of that it fits with everything I've ever been told about how this process goes these days. I mean, I appreciate your willingness to stand up and fight against that. I mean, at some point later today, you'll have to go in front of your fellow House members and stand there for the vote, correct?
That's absolutely right. We're anticipating that will begin around noon today.
Wow. Well, best of luck to you. I mean, honestly, I think it would be refreshing to have your voice in there. But whether that happens or not, let's talk about what, you know, obviously that individual and the then leadership determines what even gets into committee. I've looked at these bills. I mean, there are dozens, if not hundreds of bills pre-filed right now. And we know the truth is very few of them will actually ever even get a committee hearing.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So you just hit on something that is unbelievably important, because it's probably even more important than my run for speaker, is changing the rules of the House, basically the laws that govern how legislation is moved, how legislation is heard. And you're exactly right. Because we have so centralized the power into the speaker's office, the problem now, of course, is that those bills, those great conservative bills that get passed in all those other states like Tennessee and Arkansas and Nebraska and Oklahoma, they never happen in Missouri consistently for the last two decades because they never get to a committee hearing. Because the Yes. special interests lose money when good conservative legislation gets passed sometimes. It's just the reality of the deal. And so the rules package that I have proposed will decentralize the power of the Speaker's office and allow all representatives' priority bills to get a guaranteed hearing in the committee of their choice. And then you can Yep. petition the committee chairman for a hearing and a vote. They can't stop your legislation any longer.
Well, Justin Sparks, keep up the good fight. They're 110th District State Rep on his way down here to Jeff City. We appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. I hope to run into you later today. We're going to be back in just a minute from Jeff City with Nick Schroeder. Welcome back. We are live in the Capitol Rotunda, and Senator Nick Schroeder just sat down with me here from District 2, and I started looking at the bills he's pre-filed. You have been a busy man.
I have been.
Wow.
It's a lot of things that we need to address this session, and hopefully we can get off on the right foot.
Yeah, no kidding. There's so many of them, but the one I love the most is the President Donald J. Trump Highway, the bill that would rename that in St. Charles, right?
Absolutely. We're going to make roads great again in St. Charles County. I know MoDOT's doing their best to stand in the way, not plowing the roads, but it's between D and T. So I kind of figured it's like, you know, perfect change for that name would be changing the D to Donald and T to Trump.
That's perfect. I love that. So you mentioned, I saw you even posted something about the road conditions in the greater St. Louis area, because I posted something about it. I don't understand how it could be that radically different from where I get on the highway at 94 and 40 toward downtown. The lanes on 40 were clear to the bridge. You get in St. Louis County, you're lucky if there was one lane open.
Right.
2 days after that snowfall,
you know, it's embarrassing to see just the how effective the cities and the counties are at cleaning their roads, and even the HOAs that are privatizing this and contracting it out to private entities. And then you look at the roads that MoDOT is supposed to clear, and we're going on day three. And I've got people in my district that are doctors, that are nurses, that are still going virtual because they can't, in good faith, put themselves and their families on the road.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty surprising. I want to get to a couple of these bills that you pre-filed, because obviously, you know, everybody who listens to this show has heard my complaints about Senate leadership down here last year. You guys were targeted. You, Bill Eigel, Denny Hoskins had your parking spots taken away, all because they were mad that you wanted a vote on IP reform, right, which obviously still never happened. You must have pre-filed 40 bills here. I mean, what's your priority in getting those to a committee hearing?
Well, my priority to get them all heard is pretty high.
Yeah.
Getting them to the Senate floor, that's another big item for me. But yeah, you said, you know, there's 40 there. I think I've got several others that are in the hopper right now. But most of them are coming from constituents.
Yes.
You know, the anti-red flag bill, the changing the election day for school board members to November. These are bills that are very important to our district that when you look back in the Republican history, they've been filed previously, but they either haven't gotten a hearing, they passed one chamber. So these are very important bills to my to my district. But looking at some of the big priorities that kind of mesh with Kehoe's agenda is crime, dealing with the crime in the city of St. Louis. That's, you know, making people and businesses flee the city of St. Louis. Looking at our economy, we need to do something with tax cuts. I know a lot of people prioritize, and I filed a bill on income tax cuts. I filed a bill on personal property tax cuts. And quite frankly, whatever gets done first, to put more money back in our pockets and let us spend it the way that we want to. And as you've seen with MoDOT, the government doesn't know how to spend our money better than we do. And education reform. These are three things that Governor Kehoe has indicated are his priorities. It's a welcome change to hear what a governor is wanting to do rather than the past 4 years. We haven't had any idea what the governor was wanting to do. But yeah, hopefully we can get off on a fresh start next week. I'm hearing that we're going to get our committee assignments, hopefully figure out what committees we're going to be chairing if we're members of the Freedom Caucus. And, you know, after that, start getting these bills heard immediately.
I know one of the bills you pre-filed was relating to abortion, right, and trying to protect life.
Right.
So what does that bill include? And what are the odds you think that we actually can get some traction here and try to counter what was sadly passed in November?
So I've got two different approaches on that. As you know, back in 2019, I was the sponsor of the Heartbeat Bill. I worked with several different members on getting a very comprehensive bill done. Amendment 3, I think, is unconstitutional. The way that it was put on the ballot, the way that it was constructed, the way that the lies, the media portrayed this amendment, we need to go back and fix a lot of what was happening. And one is giving another bite at the apple to the voters, similar to Clean Missouri and Cleaner Missouri, where we were lied to with all of the commercials and what was in the bill, what wasn't in the bill. We put an amendment back to the voters. They voted on it, and they learned. They learned from their mistake. And that's one approach that myself, Senator Schnelting, many others, even Senator O'Laughlin has said, we're going to try to get one of these SJRs, this Senate Joint Resolution, back to the voters and dealing with that and outlawing the horrific act of the gender mutilation and minors, hormone blockers, puberty blockers. But the other approach is statutory. And when you look at what was passed in Amendment 3 dealing with reproductive health care, they didn't define what reproductive health care
no,
is.
No, they didn't.
And one of my bills, and I filed so many I don't know the number right now, but one of my bills is defining what reproductive health care is and what it isn't. And what I say is it's not abortion. It is not these gender reassignment or sexual reassignment surgeries. And that's going to be litigated 100%. I know it's going to be, but that, you know, that's one of the flaws in Amendment 3 is that they left so many questions to be litigated and decided by the courts.
That is SJR 23.
Correct.
And the fact that it's a joint resolution means you won't try to get it on the ballot, correct?
Correct. So yeah. The only way we're going to modify Amendment 3 or allow voters to have a second bite at that apple is
right.
To put it back on the ballot. Governor doesn't sign it. If it's passed by the House and the Senate, it goes directly to the ballot.
So when would we vote on that theoretically?
Yeah.
Like,
so the governor gets to decide.
When is that?
The governor would get to decide what election. And I would say it's got to be in a November election when we're going to have the most Republicans coming out. You know, there's nobody that I know of that brings out Republicans like Donald J. Trump. He's not going to be back out on the ballot. So trying to tie it to an issue or an election where there's going to be a lot of turnout for the Republicans.
I love that. You know, Nick, you were talking to Senator Nick Schroer. You brought up this idea of moving school board elections to a general election day.
Right.
I love that. It's such common sense.
Right.
I mean, the problem we have, whether it's Francis Howe or Wentzville or Rockwood or any of these districts, Lindbergh, where we've tried to get somebody with a little bit of common sense on these boards is that the NEA they buy those seats.
Right.
They have so much money. The national NEA can spend unlimited amounts of money, it seems like, to get these people elected.
That's
I know this has been tried before. What's the resistance? Who fights it?
Well, you hear some of these school boards saying, well, you know, we don't want to politicize our races. Well, they are politicized. When you look at the NEA,
it's too late.
Yeah, I mean, from advocating for lockdowns to the gender madness, the woke madness, this is being politicized. And yeah. Like you said, we just want people that are common sense, that are going to take politics out of education and concentrate on what's best for our kids and moving them forward. And you look at the test scores right now, it's atrocious. You also look at the turnout in these April elections, and it's atrocious. Right. The only people that are coming out are those that are connected to the NEA. And, you know, you've got 3%, 4%, 5% turnout in deciding the future of your children's education. No, let's move that to an election that's going to have a greater turnout,
right,
a wider turnout, and actually getting rid of the April elections and moving it to one of the other days in August or November. I prefer November. That's actually going to save the state money, so you don't have to monitor and have an entire separate election.
But getting back to my question, who's against that idea? I mean, are there lobbying groups down here that will lobby your fellow senators and House members against moving that?
Yeah, and generally they're connected with the NEA.
Okay,
when
so
you look
they're
at
education
paying,
related, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. What a shame.
It is. It is. And that's, you know, I've been advocating for a long time. This is why I decided to run for office and why I decided to finally jump in and run for Senate is we need people that are beholden to the people, that are beholden to the Constitution and the people and not party or lobbyists. We see in D.C. or even in the state of Missouri, sometimes our party screws up and we need strong conservatives that are going to stand up and say, well, wait a second, let's sit back for a second and evaluate this thing and not just go hook, line, and sinker like Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats do all the time. We should be a party of policy.
It's dumbfounding to me, and I think to many other people, including some people who commented on our Facebook page this morning, that we have a supermajority, and yet things that should be so easily passed just are not. Is it because we have a lot of people who run on conservative values, and then as soon as they're elected, it's like a flip of a switch? Is it the lobbyists? Yeah. What's at play here?
Well, I think it's all of that. I think that you do have people that run, they have good intentions, and maybe they've never had to stand up for their beliefs before, so they cower to the lobbyists. Or all of a sudden they're a chairman of a committee and they've got this power, which goes to their head. But, you know, and that's why, you know, I'm advocating for people that if you're sick and tired of it, if you're sick and tired of having a supermajority Republican Party and seeing that we haven't done anything with the income tax, with personal property tax cuts, those are bills that were filed by Catherine Hanaway when we took when we took the majority
20 years ago.
Yeah. And we still haven't been able to get that thing done. So if you want stronger conservatives, if you want stronger representatives and senators, put your name on the ballot or call them. Come down to the Capitol. I know last year we had a massive amount of people in here, hundreds of people that were advocating for initiative petition reform. And we got it as far as we did, the farthest it's ever gotten in my time up here.
I was here. So let's talk about the Freedom Caucus for a minute. So is it still intact? Is it still going to have a voice down here? Because, I mean, obviously, Denny Hoskins is gone, and Bill Eigel's gone, and Bob Anders is in Congress now. Yep. So you've lost three key cogs in that wheel.
I think we're stronger than ever, though.
Good.
You know, Denny Hoskins has elevated to Secretary of State. That's very important when it comes to our elections. Bob has elevated to Congress, replaced Blaine Lukemeyer, as we all know. So we've got our minions everywhere now. And, you know, having Adam Schnelting and Brad Hudson moving over into the Senate, they were members when they were in the House. Now they're coming over to join us. We've got Joe Nicola, who's a brand new member, we think. Even if he doesn't join, which we don't know if he will or not, we think that he's going to align with us on priorities the same way Ben Brown has and a few others at Mike Moon. But no, we're stronger than ever. I do know that last year when Rick Bratton and a number of others were on the ballot, it was said by some in leadership that the Freedom Caucus is dead. Well, we're back.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Better than ever.
Nick Schroer, always great to see you, my friend.
Yeah.
Keep up the good work, and come on and keep us updated on where these – you've got some great bills filed here. I hope it
– Once MoDOT clears all the snow, I'll be coming down to you guys.
So we'll speak to you in a couple months then, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Things are moving slowly.
That's for sure. Awesome. Senator Nick Schroer, thank you.
God bless you guys.
All right, quick break here. We're live in the state capitol here. I'm looking up at the rotunda. It's just beautiful. If you haven't been down here, you got to make the trip. We're going to be back to wrap things up in just a minute. Welcome back. We're live in the Capitol Rotunda this morning where it has just been a great morning. Lots of good information for you. Love the Rush Limbaugh bump music there. Ethan, thank you for that. I put that up on the
on the live feed this morning from Jeff City, the talent on loan from God, just because his bust is in the hallway here in the rotunda just across from us. And that kind of brought Rush Limbaugh to mind for me. And, of course, a longtime hero of mine. And, boy, do we miss him. I said earlier that is a void that certainly has not been filled. You know, Kim, I don't know about you, but when I listen to people like Senator Nick Schroer talk about the possibilities of what we could do with a conservative supermajority down here, I get excited about it. And then the reality hits home that some of this stuff's been introduced since for 20 years and it's never happened. It gets blocked by these lobbyists down here.
It's really frustrating the way the lobbyists have been able to manipulate really what happens there. And I think what he said was spot on. And that was, if you're tired of feeling like you're electing people who you think are conservative and then they just don't vote that way when they actually get to Jefferson City, consider putting your name on the ballot. You know, do something about it. Don't just sit back and complain about it, which is very easy to do, quite frankly.
Yeah, pay attention to the names of the people that are down here, because in many, many ways they're not voting in your best interest. That's for sure. Hopefully you had a chance to join us throughout the morning. If not, go back, look on the podcast. We make it easy for you. We podcast each segment, and we have had a who's who here in Jeff City today talking about what they're hoping to get accomplished this year. The incoming governor, Mike Kehoe, was here earlier. Andrew Bailey joined us, current senator and future secretary of state, Denny Hoskins, was here. He will be sworn in on Monday along with Mike Kehoe and the lieutenant governor, David Wasinger, who was with us this morning in the 6 o'clock hour, because he's on his way down here. That inauguration for the governor, the lieutenant governor, the statewide offices is Monday coming up. And then everybody will be in place and they can get done whatever it is they're hoping to get done down here. But, you know, it sounds like tax reform of some sort is on the agenda. And I can't make any promises to you, because it all comes down to leadership down here. And the way the game is played has not changed. It just hasn't. You heard Nick refer to that to some extent. Certainly Justin Sparks hit the nail on the head when he talked about that. They want people in positions of power who are not going to affect a great deal of change. And that's a shame, because when we look nationally, certainly when the liberal wing of the Democratic Party is in control, they exact change. And when conservatives are in control, they just don't tend to take advantage of that. I hope that's not the case in Washington this year, right? I mean, I know Bob Onder's up there. We've got some good, strong conservative voices in D.C., but I hope beyond hope that they can make a difference. I don't know. I love the idea of changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. Don't you?
Doesn't that just make you miss Trump with the outlandish things he says? Like, that's hilarious.
And, you know, the worst thing about that, Carl, is that John Cougar Mellencamp would have to go back and change the lyrics to his song in Little Pink Houses, right? Because he talks about going down to the Gulf of Mexico, vacationing in the Gulf of Mexico. You'd have to change that. But, I mean, other than that, who cares? It'd be fantastic. I don't know. I love how he prods and pokes these liberals and just completely destroys them, their mind. He owns real estate in their mind. He's not going to use the military to take Greenland, folks. Come on. Get with the program. It's just it's the art of the deal, and he's gonna get a lot by doing that as well. All right, that's going to do it for our broadcast down here. Our thanks to our friends at Golden Oak Lending for sponsoring it today. We'll be back in the studio with Kim and Ethan tomorrow. Have a fantastic day. We'll see you at 5 a.m. on Thursday.
Get more at 971talk.com.